Good morning. It is good to see everyone, and glad that everyone is able to be out. I promised that I would keep my message short today because we're going to try and have a brief meeting after services. And I figured the best way for me to keep my message short is for me to do as little bit of thinking and talking as possible. So our message today is going to come purely from the Word of God. We're going to do a reading of Matthew chapter 26, 27, and 28. Because I think we read it in part too often times. And as I was trying to think of what to do, I began to think that under the old law, they came together and they read the law. Every 7 years, they came together and read Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. The great and wonderful works that God has done. And what better work has God done for us than His Son being placed upon the cross. And so, if you would, I want us to really put ourselves in this as we're reading it. Don't read it as just some historical account. Read it as it is, the most important event this world has ever seen. And think about the reason why Jesus is going through these things. And so let's begin in Matthew chapter 26 and set ourselves in mind that this is the night Jesus has been living His life for. He's preparing Himself for the day that is to follow. He's known this day was to come. So let's begin in verse 26 of Matthew chapter 26. While they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, He broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is My body." And when He had taken a cup and given thanks, He gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is My blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on, until that day when I drink it new with you in My Father's kingdom." After singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away because of Me this night. For it is written, I will strike down the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go ahead of you to Galilee." But Peter said to Him, "Even though all may fall away because of you, I will never fall away." Jesus said to him, "Truly I say to you that this very night, before a rooster crows, you will deny Me 3 times. Peter said to Him, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." All the disciples said the same thing too. Now, keep that in mind. The devotion that Peter here has for the Lord. "I'll die for you. I'll give My life for you." And then we go with Jesus to the Garden of Gethsemane, verse 36. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to His disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And He took with Him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and distressed. Focus on that. He's just not offering prayer like we do. He's not spending a few moments, "Thank You, Lord, for the day. Thank You, Lord, for My blessings." This is what His life has focused on. And this is His last opportunity to request of the Lord. It says, "Then He said to them, 'My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with Me.' And He went a little beyond them and fell on His face and prayed, saying, 'My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from Me. Yet not as I will, but as You will.' And He came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said, 'Peter, so you men could not keep watch with Me for 1 hour? Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.'" Remember, just a little while earlier, Peter said, "I'll die for you." Now he can't even stay awake for the Lord. Verse 42, "He went away again a second time and prayed, saying, 'My Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, Your will be done.' Again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. And he left him again and went away and prayed a third time, saying the same thing once more. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, 'Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. Behold, the one who betrays Me is at hand.'" Now pause for just a moment. The disciples had been with Jesus throughout this entire day. They had had this supper. The disciples have had a nice period of rest. Jesus has spent all this time in praying, this fervent prayer, greatly grieved and distressed. No rest for the weary one. Keep that in mind as Jesus goes throughout the further events of this night and the events that occur afterwards. He's doing all this without sleep and with a night of fervent prayer. Verse 47. While he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, came up accompanied by a large crowd with swords and clubs, who came from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he who was betraying him gave them a sign, saying, "Whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him." Immediately Judas went to Jesus and said, "Hail, Rabbi," and kissed him. Jesus said to him, "Friend, do you do what you have come for?" Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and seized him. And behold, one of those who were with Jesus reached and drew out his sword and struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, "Put your sword back into its place, for all those who take up the sword shall perish by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and He will at once put at my disposal more than 12,000 legions of angels? How then will the Scriptures be fulfilled which say that it must happen this way?" At that time Jesus said to the crowds, "Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as you would against a robber? Every day I used to sit in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But all this has taken place to fulfill the Scriptures of the prophets." Then all the disciples left him and fled. Remember, all those disciples were there with Peter saying, "Lord, we'll die for you." And they leave him. Jesus is alone with all of his enemies. Verse 57, those who had seized Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were gathered together. But Peter was following him at a distance as far as the courtyard of the high priest, and entered in and sat down with the officers to see the outcome. Now the chief priest and the whole council kept trying to obtain false testimony against Jesus so that they might put him to death. They did not find any, even though many false witnesses came forward. But later on two came forward and said, "This man stated, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and to rebuild it in 3 days.'" The high priest stood up and said to him, "Do you not answer? What is it that these men are testifying against you?" But Jesus kept silent. And the high priest said to him, "I adjure you by the living God that you tell us whether you are the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus said to him, "You have said it yourself. Nevertheless, I tell you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his robes and said, "He has blasphemed. What further need do we have of witnesses? Behold, you have now heard the blasphemy. What do you think?" They answered, "He deserves death." Then they spat in his face, beat him with their fist, and others slapped him, and said, "Prophesy to us, you Christ. Who is the one who hit you?" This is our Lord and Savior, the perfect one that they are treating in such a way. Remember, he's gone all night praying to God fervently, no sleep, facing this horrible mock trial. Verse 69. Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him and said, "You too were with Jesus the Galilean." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you're talking about." When he had gone out to the gateway, another servant girl saw him and said to those who were there, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." And again he denied it with an oath, saying, "I do not know the man." A little later, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, "Surely you two are one of them, for even the way you talk gives you away." Then he began to curse and swear, "I do not know the man." And immediately a rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the word which Jesus had said, "Before a rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. And he went out and wept bitterly. Now, when morning came, once again, remember, Jesus prayed throughout the night. The rest of the night was filled with a trial of accusers, accusing him of things that he has not done, bringing up false witnesses. He's faced that all night long. When morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people conferred together against Jesus to put him to death. And they bound him and led him away and delivered him to Pilate, the governor. Then when Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that he had been condemned, he felt remorse and returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." But they said, "What is that to us? See to that yourself." And he threw the pieces of silver into the temple sanctuary and departed. And he went away and hanged himself. The chief priest took the pieces of silver and said, "It is not lawful to put them into the temple treasury, since it is the price of blood." And they conferred together, and with the money bought the potter's field as a burial place for strangers. For this reason, that field has been called the field of blood to this day. Then that which was spoken through Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled. And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of the one whose price had been set by the sons of Israel, and they gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord directed me. Now, Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor questioned him, saying, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus said to him, "It is as you say." And while he was being accused by the chief priests and elders, he did not answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?" And he did not answer him with regard to even a single charge. So the governor was quite amazed. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release for the people any one prisoner whom they wanted. At that time, they were holding a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when the people gathered together, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For he knew that because of envy, they had handed him over. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent him a message saying, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man, for last night I suffered greatly in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas and to put Jesus to death. But the governor said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all said, "Crucify." And he said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they kept shouting all the more, saying, "Crucify." When Pilate saw that he was accomplishing nothing, but rather that a riot was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to that yourselves." And all the people said, "His blood shall be on us and on our children." Then he released Barabbas for them, but after having Jesus scourged, he handed him over to be crucified. Now Jesus has spent the night praying. He spent the night being falsely accused by the priest in their own private trial and then in a trial before Pilate. But it's not over with yet. Now he's been scourged. Scourged according to the Romans, not according to the Jews. The Romans liked the tearing of flesh. They liked the removal of the skin of the back. This is what's happening to Jesus. Verse 27. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole Roman cohort around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and after twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand, and they knelt down before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" They spat on him and took the reed and began to beat him on the head. After they had mocked him, they took the scarlet robe off him and put his own garments back on him and led him away to crucify him. As they were coming out, they found a man of Cyrene named Simon, whom they pressed into service to bear his cross. When they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they gave him wine to drink mixed with gall, and after tasting it, he was unwilling to drink. Understand, this wine mixed with gall was a drink given to those that were being crucified to numb the pain. Note that Jesus, when he realized what they were offering him, he refused it. He was going to bear the full brunt of the pain for our sins. Verse 35. When they had crucified him, they divided up his garments among themselves by casting lots. And sitting down, they began to weep. They began to keep watch over him there. And above his head, they put up the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." At that time, two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. And those passing by were hurling abuse at him, wagging their heads, and saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priest also, along with the scribes and elders, were mocking him and saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe in him." He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he delights in him, for he said, "I am the Son of God." The robbers who had been crucified with him were also insulting him with the same words. Now from the sixth hour, that is noon, darkness fell upon all the land until the ninth hour, around 3 p.m., the brightest part of the day. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Now pause for just a moment. As Jesus is being carried away for his trial, where did the disciples go? They fled. As Jesus is facing his trial, Peter and John are standing off in the background. Peter is denying him. Everyone he's known upon this earth has turned away from him. And now his own heavenly Father, who he has been with throughout all eternity, has forsaken him. Verse 47. And some of those who were standing there when they heard it began saying, "This man is calling for Elijah." Immediately one of them ran, and taking a sponge, he filled it with sour wine and put it on a reed and gave him a drink. But the rest of them said, "Let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs were opened and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they entered the holy city and appeared to many. Now the centurion, that battle-hardened Roman soldier, and those who were with him keeping guard over Jesus, when they saw the earthquake and the things that were happening, became very frightened and said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." Many women were there looking on from a distance who had followed Jesus from Galilee while ministering to him. Among them was Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Joseph and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him. And Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a large stone against the entrance of the tomb and went away. And Mary Magdalene was there, and the other Mary sitting opposite the grave. Now on the next day, the day after the preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered together with Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember that when he was still alive, that deceiver said, 'After 3 days I am to rise again.' Therefore give orders for the grave to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise his disciples may come and steal him away and say to the people, 'He is risen from the dead,' and the last deception will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard. Go, make it as secure as you know how." And they went and made the grave secure, and along with the guard, they set a seal on the stone. Now after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. The guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here, for he has risen. Just as he said, come, see the place where he was lying. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." And they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to report it to his disciples. Behold, Jesus met them and greeted them, and they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go take word to my brethren to leave for Galilee, and there they will see me." Now while they were on their way, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priest all that had happened. And when they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers and said, "You are to say his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this should come to the governor's ears, we will win him over and keep you out of trouble." And they took the money and did as they had been instructed. And the story was widely spread among the Jews and is to this day. But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." We gloss over the precious details of Christ upon the cross. He was there not because of something he had done, not because of any sin that he had offered, but because Tim Henderson was going to be a sinner. Earl Miller, all who are present, all who have ever lived, are going to commit sin. Put yourself there with him in the garden. Think of what he went through, saying, "Father, if it can be, let's do something else. Let this cup pass from me. But not my will, but thine be done. Let those words ring in your ears as you go through your life and go, I want to do this. Say to yourself, but not my will, but thine be done, Lord. Submit yourself to the will of the Lord. Jesus said for us to go into the world and to preach the gospel. It says, you go and you make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The sacrifice was made on your behalf that your sins can be forgiven. If you have sin in your life that need to be forgiven, today is the day of salvation. Surrender yourself to the Lord in humble obedience, obeying His gospel by repenting of your sins, being buried in baptism, and arising a new creature, no longer living according to your own fleshly desires, but according to the will of the Lord. Perhaps you're here, you've obeyed the gospel, you've given yourself to the Lord, but you've been an Indian giver, and I want my soul back. I want my fun back. I want to take part of the things of the world again. And you've allowed yourself to be subdued by the worldliness and the things that are going on around you. Once again, today is the day of salvation. Repent of whatever your sin may be and return. We ask that you do this as we stand and as we sing.